of Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Bein Kach Uvein Kach Lo Yivo Lo Be'erev Shabbos Lo Be'motzai Shabbos. So the Gemara says that one is not permitted to engage in relations, specifically in Bi'er Rishon, not to have relations for the first time with your wife, neither on Erev Shabbos or on Motzai Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, Bishlama Be'erev Shabbos Mishum Chabura Ela Be'motzai Shabbos Amaylo. This really means that you can't get married, says the Gemara, on a Friday or a Motzai Shabbos because of these various concerns. So the Gemara says, I understand what the issue is with Erev Shabbos. If you get married on a Friday, you're going to come to have Bi'er Rishona on Shabbos, and again, we're going to talk a lot about this throughout the next two daf, but the concern, at least for right now, is that it's going to break the woman's hymen, it's going to cause her to bleed, which is a violation of a chovel chavala, you're creating a wound. Again, we're going to talk, you know, whether this holds up lahalach at the end. But the question is, why would it be problematic to get married on Motzai Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Mishum Cheshbonos. The concern is that if one gets married on a Saturday night, so throughout the whole course of Shabbos, they're going to be planning the wedding, and they're going to be engaged, you know, their mind's going to be caught up in trying to figure out how many guests they're going to have and the meal and whatever else. So that's going to be a distraction. That's a violation of what's called Vidaber Dover. Rashi points out from a pasuk in Yeshayahu that, you know, there's certain types of activities that, you know, that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara then, asks, but these are calculations that are mitzvah oriented. They're all about the wedding. So why is that problematic on Shabbos? So the Gemara says that you are allowed to make calculations that are mitzvah oriented on Shabbos. A person can pledge to give tzedakah on Shabbos. You can go gather in a shul or in a base medrash in order to discuss public matters on Shabbos. So if you, there are issues about fixing roads and highways and sewer systems and things like that, you can discuss those things on Shabbos. You can discuss, you know, life-threatening matters on Shabbos. Again, obviously, if it's actual pikuach nefesh, obviously you can mechal Shabbos, but here we're talking about discussing things that can affect people's lives, that's also permitted to discuss on Shabbos. You can go to these other public places, these circuses and amphitheaters, also to discuss public matters on Shabbos. You can also try to make shidduch proposals. You can try to make marriage matches on Shabbos. You can also try to train someone in a profession, and a job, and education, things like that. So again, the point is that all of these activities, because they're mitzvah-oriented, are permitted on Shabbos. So why does the Gemara say that the reason why I can't get married on a Motzai Shabbos is because I'm going to be distracted all Shabbos thinking about planning the wedding? What's the problem? Seemingly it should be totally mutter to do that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Amar Rabbi Zera, Gzera Shema Yishko Benof. The reason why you can't get married on a Motzai Shabbos, says the Gemara, is for a totally different reason, is because we're afraid you may come to shecht the chickens on Shabbos, and in the process of trying to prepare the wedding, obviously if you're the one actually doing all the preparation from the very beginning, you may come to actually shech the chickens on Shabbos to make sure that you're prepared. So the Gemara then asks, Amar le'abaye, ela me'ata, yom ha'kipurim shecholios pesheini b'shabbos yirche gzera shem yishkovino. This question seems to be completely out of left field. The Gemara says, well, what if Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday? We should push it off because you may come to shecht on Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? So first of all, we know that Yamin Tovim to a degree are established by us. Again, in the times when we had Kiddush HaChodesh, when we had Edim, so the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that if for some reason Bezna decides, you know, today's not a good day to be Rosh Chodesh, today's not a good day to be Rosh Hashanah, we can push it off. Again, there's a whole discussion in the beginning of Sanhedrin exactly how this works, but basically that is possible. So the Gemara wants to know, well, any time that the calendar dictates that Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, which by the way it can, right, so if Yom Kippur ever falls out on a Monday, let's push it off. What's the issue? Because obviously you have to have the Suda of Erev Yom Kippur on Sunday, and we're concerned you may come to Shecht on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam de l'nafshi lo tarid hacha de l'achirim tarid, inami hasam isle ravcha hacha lisle ravcha. The Gemara quotes two possible distinctions. The first distinction is that when you're shechting for a wedding, you're preparing for other people, right? Let's say you're going to have 500 people at the wedding. There's a concern that you may come to get caught up in all the people you have to prepare for. Whereas for Yom Kippur, you're just preparing for yourself and for your family, so it's less likely you're going to do that. And the other distinction is that in the case of the Gemara by the marriage is happening right after Shabbos, whereas the Suda that you're preparing for Erev Yom Kippur is happening on Sunday evening. So you could just shecht on Sunday morning. You don't have to shecht on Shabbos itself. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Hashta da'asis lahachi, Erev Shabbos nami The Gemara says, once we've come on to this idea that the concern with getting married on a Motzai Shabbos is the fact that you may come to Shecht on Shabbos, the Gemara says you can also quote that, you can also reference that as the reason why you can't get married on an Erev Shabbos. In other words, forget about the whole issue of breaking the woman's hymen and causing her to bleed, which again, we're going to talk a lot about as we go on in the Gemara, but maybe there's another reason why you can't get married on Erev Shabbos, which again, if the meal goes into Shabbos and, I don't know, you run out of food, maybe you'll come to Shecht on Shabbos as part of the preparation for the meal. Okay, and the Gemara says, Ibay Elohu, Besula Nises Baravi, Venevelas Baravi, Velo Chayshina Le'ekrure Daita, Odilma Besula Nises Baravi, Venevelas Bachamishi De Chayshina Le'ekrure Daita. The Gemara raises the following. Again, this was the opening Mishnah back on Daf Beis, which talked about the fact that a woman who's a virgin is supposed to get married on a Wednesday, and again, we'll talk a lot about in the Gemara why that should be. So the question is like this. When the Mishnah says that a Besula should get married on a Wednesday, does that mean that she should also have relations on Wednesday, or should she push off having relations until Thursday? What's the issue exactly? So if you remember back from Daf Beis, so the Gemara references this idea that the whole reason why a Besula seemingly should get married on a Wednesday is because in case the husband claims that she's not a Besula, he can bring her to Bezdin right away on Thursday, because Bezdin was typically only open on Monday and Thursday, so they would bring her to Bezdin right away and put forth this claim. There was a concern that if there was a lapse of time between the time they had relations and the, you know, if Bezdin was only open 3 days later, so his mind would cool down, he wouldn't be as motivated to bring her to Bezdin. So the Gemara the Mishnah said we wanted to make sure that, you know, you could bring her to Bezdin as quickly as possible. So the question really is, do we have a concern that in this kind of small window of time between Wednesday and Thursday, that he's gonna cool down and not be so motivated to bring her to Bezdin? Or maybe not. Maybe we say, okay, he can wait, he can wait a day, he can have relations on Wednesday, and if it turns out that she's not a Besula, bring her to Bezdin the next day. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Sunny Bar Kapara, Besula Nises Baraviv and Nevelas Bachamishi, Hoil Vinemra Bo Bracha Ladagim. Amana Nises Bachamishi Venevelas Bashishi, Hoil Vinemra Bo Bracha Ladam. Time of Yishim Bracha, Avam Yishim Kuri Daita Lochaishina. The Gemara says that the reason we say that a Besula gets married on Wednesday but has relations on Thursday. Why? Because on Thursday, on the fifth day of creation, there was a bracha of Pru Revu that was written by the fish, and then whereas an Almana gets married on a Thursday but has relations on Friday, because on Friday Pru Revu is written in the context of man. So the Gemara says the only reason why we're pushing off having relations until Thursday or Friday for a Besula or an Almana respectively is only for this technical reason of the bracha, because there's a bracha of Pru Revu written in Chumash associated with fish and or man, but implying that this other factor that, well, maybe the husband's going to not be so motivated to bring her to Bezdin, that's not a factor, clearly. It's just this issue of bracha that's on the table. So the Gemara then pushes back. The Gemara says, Ihachi almana namiti boil bachamishi hoa vin ne'emra bo bracha ledagim. The Gemara says, okay, but then why does an almana not have relations on Thursday? In other words, if it's based on the bracha, let her have relations on Thursday, which is the day of the bracha for fish. So the Gemara says, no, bracha da adam adifa, either because the bracha given to man is better or is preferable to the bracha given to fish, the inami mishi Shaktu. Desanya, Mipneima Amru Almana Nises Bachamishi Vinavelas Bashishi, Sheimata Omer Tiboil Bachamishi, Lamachar Mashkim Lumanuso Vaholichlo, Shaktu Chachamim Altakanas Benos Yisrael, Sheyehisomeachim Ashlosha Yamim, Chamishi Bishabis, the Erev Shabbos Vishabis. So the Gemara quotes this, the second possibility, in other words, another reason why it is that we insist that an Almana wait until Friday to have relations as opposed to having it on Thursday, because of what's called Shaktu. The word Shaktu literally means to do something quickly or zealously. So what does that mean here exactly? So the Gemara says that we were concerned that if the Almana were to get married on Thursday and have relations on Thursday, so what would happen? The husband would have relations with his newly married wife, who happens to be an Almana from a previous marriage, and then he would go off to work the next day. He would just kind of leave her by himself and go off to work. So Chazal made this takana that you have to celebrate with her for 3 days. Again, we're going to talk a lot about in the Gemara, you know, what the limitations of Sheva Brachos are for a person who's not getting married for the first time. Is it 1 day? Is it 3 days? Is it 7 days? We're going to get to that, you know, in the next couple of days. But basically, the Gemara says, Chazam in a takana, that the Almana gets married on a Thursday, and then the husband has to be Mesameach with her Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and then he's free to go back to work. And that's when the quote unquote Sheva Brachos, even though it's not, in other words, it's 3 days of Sheva Brachos, are going to end at that point. So the Gemara asks, Mai Ika bin Bracha Leshakdu? In other words, at the end of the day, everyone seems to agree that an Almana is supposed to wait until Friday to have relations. So who cares if it's because of the Bracha for man, or if it's because of this takana, the Chacham called Shakdu, that we want to make sure that the husband is Mesameach with her for 3 days before going back to work? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu adam batel, inami yantav shecholios be'erev Shabbos. So there's two possible nafkaminas. One, what if the guy doesn't work? If the guy is retired, the guy's not working at all. So in that scenario, so you don't have that second concern. He's not going to, the day after the wedding go back to work. He's not going anywhere. But in terms of the component of bracha, so you still want that to, the relations to be done on Friday. And then the second possible nafkamina says the Gemara is when you have yantif that falls out on a Friday. So if yantif's on a Friday, so even if the guy normally works, he's obviously not going to work anyway because it's yantif. So in that scenario also, if it's work oriented, oriented, you would not necessarily have to have relations on Friday, but if it's bracha oriented, then you would. Okay, the Gemara says Darash Bar Kapara. Gedol Maisa Tzadikim Yotzer Mimaisa Shemayim Va'aretz. The Ilu Maisa Shemayim Va'aretz Ksev Af Yadi Yaseda Eretz Vimini Tipecha Shemayim. The Ilu Maisa Yedem Shel Tzadikim Ksev Machon Lishiftecha Pa'alta Hashem Mikedash Hashem Konenu Yadecha. The reason why the Gemara quotes these Agarata here is because it's just quoted in the name of Bar Kapara, who we quoted earlier. It's really not related at all to the previous Gemara, but the Gemara says that the actions of Tzadikim are greater than the handiwork of God. The Gemara references a pasuk from Yeshayahu that says that God's that my hand in the singular af yadi, my hand formed the earth and my right hand laid the foundations for the heavens. Whereas when it comes to the handiwork of tzaddikim, the pasuk from Bishalach from Az Yashir that says machon l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem, right, that the abode where God lives was built by Hashem, mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha, right, your hands in the plural were the built up or founded the mikdash. So the Gemara says heishiv bav liechad v'rabbi chiyashimo via beshes yadav yatsar. What about the pasuk in Tehillim, where we say this pasuk in Kabbalah Shabbos, that says via beshes yadav yatsaru, that God's hands in the plural created the dry land? So the Gemara says no, yadok siv, it's written without the extra yud, implying that it's in the singular, just his hand. The Gemara says, what do you mean v'hachsiv yatsaru? It says they formed the dry land, again implying that it was both of God's hands. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak yatsaru etz beosav kidichsiv ki era shemecha maaseh etz beosecha yarech v'chochavim asher konanta. That plural in the pasuk is a reference to the finger. In other words, the fingers of one hand of God created the dry land. But in other words, the Gemara's point here is that whereas God uses one hand to create things, the tzaddikim use two hands. That's the distinction. Okay, then the Gemara asks, Meisvei Hashemai Misaprim Kvod Keil Maaseh Yadav Magid Harakia. What about the pasuk that says also in Tehillim that the pasuk says that the heavens relate the honor of God and His handiwork Maaseh Yadav in the plural, His hands, the firmament, the heavens tell over about His handiwork in the plural. So the Gemara says, "No, hachi kamer maaseh yedem shel tzadikim mi magid harakia umaynihu matar." What the pasuk meant to say was that the heavens are a testimony to the actions, to the handiwork of the tzadikim. In other words, when the tzadikim follow Hashem's Torah mitzvos, so the heavens testify to that fact by bringing forth the rain. So the Gemara says that's what the pasuk means. It's not talking about God's creating things, but rather the tzaddikim showing by dint of the rain coming. That's an indication that they're following the Torah. Okay, the Gemara says Darash Bar Kapara. May dechsiv yasei tiyelecha al azeinecha al tikrei azeinecha ela al oznecha sheim yishma adam davar sheino hagan yaniach etzba'o be'aznav. So the Gemara quotes a famous idea that the pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze that there's a din that if you have weapons in your camp, you have to hang them up on pegs. That's the pasuk of Yasei Tielecha al Azeinecha, that you should hang your weapons on pegs. So the Gemara darshens the word Azeinecha as if it meant Aznecha, your ears, which means that if a person hears something that's not appropriate or they hear Lashon Hara, whatever it is, basically stick your fingers in your ears so you don't hear anything bad. V'hainu da'ama Rabbi Elazar mipenema etzba'osav shaladam domos liyasedos. Why is it that man's fingers are like pegs, that they're like bent over? So the Gemara says, "My taima, ilema mishum de mechalkan kol chade v'chade lamilse avida." The Amar Mar, zo zera, zo kemitza, zo ama, zo etzba, zaguda. So the Gemara says that if you're going to tell me, it's because each finger has its own distinct purpose. So we already know that because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Menachos that each finger is used for a different function. Specifically, the pinky is used to measure the span or the length of the choshen that the Kohen Gadol wears. The kemitza, the ring finger, is used to scoop out the flour in the Karban Mincha. The middle finger is used to measure the shear of an ama. The index finger is used to sprinkle blood on the mizbeach, and the thumb is what we use to apply oil and blood onto the thumb and big toe of a mitzora. So the Gemara says, "Ela matam mishupos kiyasedos sheim yishma adam davar sheino hagun yaniach etzbosa baz." And this idea that we just mentioned before, the reason why a person's fingers are shaped like pegs that you can basically bend them over, is again because if you hear something inappropriate, stick your fingers in your ear so you don't hear it. The Gemara says, "Tana devei Rabbi Yishma mepneima ozen kula kashe v'ha'alia raka sheim yishma adam davar sheino hagun yachof alia lesocha." Why is it that the actual ear is hard, but the earlobe is soft? Because again, if you hear something inappropriate, you just fold your earlobe on top of your ear so you won't hear anything. And then the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan al yashmiya adam la'aznav dvarim betelim mipnei shehin nichvos tchilu la'ivarim." The Gemara says, don't allow your ears to hear something negative or dvarim betelim, because whatever your ears hear, that affects the rest of your body. In other words, everything goes through the ears first, and then it affects everything else. Okay, so that's the end of the agarata portion. Now the Gemara goes back to the question we were discussing earlier. Ibayaluhu, mahu livo betchila b'shabes, dam mifkad pakid o chabure michbar. This is going going to really be a topic that's going to take us really for the next two daf, essentially. The Gemara wants to know, what's the din, or is one permitted to engage in Bia Rishona and having relations for the first time with their wife on Shabbos? So what's the issue exactly? So the Gemara raises the following question. What's the nature of the blood inside of the woman's uterus? Do we assume that what's called Dam Mifkat Paket? Dam Mifkat Paket is essentially another way of saying that the blood is basically already, you know, kind of detached from the uterus. It just needs that opening to come out. So once the initial penetration happens and the blood comes out, you didn't really do anything. You didn't create a wound. It's just, you know, you need that little push to get the blood out, which would imply that there's no malacha of chavala involved. Or you could say, no, that maybe dam is chabure mechbar, which is another way of saying that the blood is essentially caked into the walls of the uterus, and the only way to get it out is by essentially creating a wound, which would imply that there is a malacha of chavala. So the Gemara then explains, im tim salomar dam mifkat paket, l'dam utzarech v'sharei, and even if you want to argue like the first position in the Gemara, that basically the blood is essentially out, it's just waiting for the hymen to be broken open. So the Gemara then says, well, then what's your intent in getting the blood out? Is your intent for the blood, in which case it's permissible, there's no malacha violated there, or maybe not. Maybe your goal is to permanently open the woman's hymen, which would be a separate issue of bona. That's not an issue of chavala, of bleeding, but opening up a pesach, opening up an entrance on Shabbos, that's a malacha of bona. So then the Gemara says, im tim salomar l'adam utzarech, and let's say you wanted to argue that you're really intending for the blood, and the fact that you opened the woman's hymen, that was just incidental, that wasn't your kavana, but that still prompts the question, halacha kereb Shimon da'amar davar she'en miskavin mutter, oh halacha kereb Yehuda da'amar davar she'en miskavin mutter. So this is a very famous question. We spoke a lot about this in Masechta Shabbos, right? This, you know, comes up hundreds of times in Masechta Shabbos, which is basically, how do we paskin on the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding what's called a davar she'en miskavin? If I don't intend to do a malacha, so the question is, does that matter? So according to Rabbi Shimon, this happens to be the way that we paskin the halacha. We happen to pass like Rav Shimon that a davar she'eino miskavin is in fact mutter. So in other words, but again, the Gemara is still trying to figure this out here. The Gemara is still trying to analyze this. So do we accept Rav Shimon's premise that because I wasn't intending to break open the hymen, I wasn't intending to create a pesach, therefore it's mutter? Maybe no. Maybe we follow Rabbi Yehuda that just because you weren't intending, it's still problematic. The intim selomer halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda mekalkel hu eitz ala pesach or misakin hu eitz ala pesach. And let's say you wanted to argue that we do follow Rabbi Yehuda that a davar she'eino miskavin is usher, but there's another issue you have to contend with, which is this considered makalkel or misakin? Makalkel would mean that you're doing a destructive act, which we also spoke about back in Masechta Shabbos. There happens to be another machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, which is completely unrelated to this question of davar she'eino miskavin regarding makalkel. Rabbi Huda happens to hold that if I do a destructive act on Shabbos, I'm not chayav for that. Again, maybe me derabbanan I am, but let's say I tear something in anger on Shabbos, so I'm not chayav for that because that's purely a destructive act. Whereas if you do something productive, that's obviously the definition of malachas machsheves. So the question basically is opening the woman's hymen, is that considered a destructive act or like a productive act? So the Gemara says that's the final question you have to raise, at least in this first version of the Gemara. Then the Gemara has a second version. Ika da'amre, the intim salomar dam chabure michbar, ledam utzarech va'asar, odima lahana asatzim utzarech v'shar. In the second version, the Gemara assumes the second premise, which was, as we started with, that maybe the blood is literally caked into the walls of the woman's uterus, and you really actually need to break open not just the pesach, but you're actually, the only way to get the blood out of the woman's body is to actually injure the woman, is to actually do, to actually violate chavala. So the Gemara says, even if you were to accept that as true, so the question now becomes, well, what's my intent? If my goal is to get the blood out, then obviously that's a problem of chavala. But if my intent is just to engage in having sexual relations and to enjoy the pleasure of that, I don't really care about the blood coming out of the woman's body. So perhaps again, that should be a davar she'eino miskavin. But again, the Gemara says, v'im tim salomer lahanas atzmahu tzarech v'dam meila ka'asei halacha kereb Yehuda halacha kereb Shimon. Again, that's the obvious next question, which is that if my goal is simply for sexual gratification, I don't really care about the blood per se. So that again is gonna go back to the original question of, do we follow Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda regarding a davar she'eino miskavin? The intim salomar halacha kereb Yehuda mekalkel b'chavuro misakin b'chavuro. And if you're going to argue that we paskin like Reb Yehuda that a davar she'eino miskavin is usher, so again the question is then going to become, as we saw in the first version of the Gemara, is this considered a destructive or a productive act, which again is going to have bearings on whether you're going to be chayav. The intim salomar mekalkel b'chavurahu b'mekalkel halacha kereb Yehuda halacha kereb Shimon. And if you're going to argue that this is makalkel, that this is destructive, so the question now is, well, how do we paskin on that question? Do we assume that a destructive act is completely mutter on Shabbos, like Rabbi Yehuda does, or do we assume, like Rabbi Shimon, that a destructive act is actually problematic on Shabbos? So it happens to just be, to just be interesting parenthetically, that these two machloks in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which, again, as we said before, are completely unrelated, about davar she'eino miskavin on the one hand, and then makalkel, a destructive act, on the other, they're not related, but they kind of dovetail here, because, strangely enough, the Gemara says, if you accept Rabbi Yehuda by davar she'eino miskavin, which is usher, then you have to now figure out, well, what's the din by makalkel? According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't even get this far in the Gemara, because again, according to Rabbi Shimon, the assumption was that, you know, this whole activity is permissible because it's a davar she'eino miskavin, right? So now the Gemara wants to bring back to life, well, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, what about Makalkel? And then what would you say by Makalkel? So the Gemara is almost trying to split between these two questions, even though Rabbi Shimon himself wouldn't have made it this far in the question, because he himself thinks that it's permissible because it's a davar she'eino miskavin. So what's the answer to this question? The Gemara says, Bivei Rav Amrei, Rav Shari Yishmol Asar, Benahardo Amrei, Rav Asar Yishmol Sharei, Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, V'simaneich, Eilu Mekilin La'atzman, Ve'eilu Mekilin La'atzman. So in Rav's base medrash, they said that Rav was Mekel and Shmuel was Machmir. In the Harda, where Shmuel was the Rav, they said the exact opposite. So Rav Nachman gave you a mnemonic device to remember, you know, who said what. He basically said each party was Mekel in their own favor. They basically claimed that their Rav was the Mekel one and the other one was Machmir. So again, tomorrow we'll hopefully analyze these opinions a little bit more.